not ideal, but
ladies and
welcome back to American Idol.
And then, oh, is this the side where they get to see my scars?
That's true.
Battle scars.
The also like speak like that far away from like get your mouth
like this close.
Basically, almost touch your mouth to it, but try not to.
Okay, sounds good.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the TMS podcast. It has been quite a while since we've done one. I think it's actually been a year. Steven and I checked this morning, and the last time we recorded an episode was April 12th, 2021, and it's now April 29th, 2022. So a little over a year ago.
But June 9th is our last one.
Oh, June 9th. Okay. Yeah. So, hey. Okay.
10 months.
10 months. That's pretty close. If you are watching this, you'll notice that there's actually a video paired with this podcast, which is a new thing for us because this is our first time. So kind of cool. You can see us. We can't see you, but whatever.
this is a Zoom call.
Yeah, exactly. In this episode of the podcast, we are going to be doing a kind of a deep dive and behind the scenes look at our most recent video that we uploaded on our YouTube channel, the POV video, I think the video is titled A Perfect Day in Vancouver, first person travel film. And we're going to kind of go through the rig and just like the shoot and just a little bit more in depth than we did in the behind the scenes video that you guys may or may not have seen. You'll also notice that we have a guest here. His name is Aiden. Aiden is the one that helped. He came on the trip with us, helped us, and basically was our right hand man when we were filming this thing. So thanks for coming and thank you for being here.
Of course, anytime.
Of course, yes. So I think let's just dive right into it.
Right.
What is the first thing we want to touch on? Let's talk about the rig, because I think
That's the most interesting part if you're just like a camera nerd.
So. Yes. So I'm sure you guys have probably seen the BTS video, but it's a motorcycle helmet that's modified to hold a camera upside down in a first-person orientation. And then there's also a focus-pulling system where a second guy can operate focus. And it gets this really unique look that you can't get with anything else, really. Like, a GoPro doesn't do the same thing. And it's just, we haven't really seen anything else anywhere, or anything anywhere else either. So it's kind of our brainchild.
Yeah, I mean, if you are unaware, we did a video a year ago now, or 2 years ago now, pretty much exactly 2 years ago, which was the first version of the POV rig. And it's called Headed West. Basically, we're going all throughout the PNW. And that was our first POV video. And then that one had a crazy rig that we just kind of strapped together with a Blackmagic, all this kind of stuff. But this time around, we wanted to do it better, bigger and better, so it's easier to operate. Because we had like 6 or 7 different types of batteries to run that rig.
Last time.
And then this time we have a single V-mount battery, and we optimized it so it's way easier to use. And we just wanted to kind of do another POV video because we want to really kind of get back into doing more POV video content because we really enjoyed doing that. I don't know why it took such a long hiatus.
I feel like it was a thing of where we did the first one and then we're like, this is a pain in the ass.
True.
But that video, that first POV video is probably the most lucrative and both lucrative, profitable, and just all around
career advancing
video we have ever made on our YouTube channel ever, because so many different opportunities have come from that video because people reach out and they say, hey, we've seen this video. We really like it. We want you guys to do the same for ours. Like I'm not going to mention anything yet because I think this is going to be a whole different podcast episode, but certain Fortune 500 company might have reached out and said, hey, we want a video. So, and they make shoes. So that should really narrow it down.
It doesn't start with an A.
Also that. I think that's enough.
I think there's only one left.
So it's that video we realized kind of after the fact that was a really, really good video for us and our career as a whole. So we're like, fuck it, let's do more. And then this Vancouver video was kind of a comeback to doing that. And that's kind of where
so
we are.
And so as far as we know, and from when you're watching this, if you watch it when it comes out, we're doing one in Vancouver. And then coming up in about a month, we're doing another one in Tofino, which is Vancouver Island, if you're unaware. But it's very much like North Coast, very rugged, very like picturesque.
It'll be similar to Headed West, but it'll have more like sandy beaches and kind of a little bit more
golden sunsets, hopefully, if we can control the weather.
More surfing.
Surfing, yeah. It'll have surfing and riding your bike on the beach at sunset where it's all glistening. It'll be stuff like that. So it'll be a lot of fun. Stay tuned for that because that'll be fun.
Exactly.
I'm going to say, did we have any problems with the rig?
Well, the only thing was the monitor.
Yes.
Which...
Yeah, that's probably
that's a big pain.
Exactly. Yeah, that was a big pain.
I mean, on this focus pulling rig, there's a giant monitor on it, and then that's how you kind of look at that to make sure you can maintain focus. When we first built the rig and when we went to Vancouver, left, it was a 5-inch monitor that we got off Amazon, like one of the cheapest portable monitors
just
you could find.
$200.
It was a $200. Yes. And so we look at it, and then you can't see anything. You can't really get focus at all. And we're like, ugh, we're going to do a whole week of shooting, or like, yeah, we're going to do a whole week of shooting like this on this tiny little monitor. And so there we are looking around. And so we first went to, so we were like, okay, maybe we just need a better quality 5-inch monitor. And so we went to Henry's and we decided to buy this monitor, the Atomos Ninja.
Oh yeah, I remember this actually. Exactly. I forgot this until now.
Yeah, so we bought the Atomos Ninja and then we strapped it on. Same exact issue. It was a little bit better.
Also, the biggest issue with that monitor was that it didn't have a DC in. Like it only was battery operated.
Yeah.
Which, and the way that our rig is set up is that you don't need to have it be DC in, but to make it perfect, and if we're going to spend the money on getting a monitor.
Yeah, it's like a $500 monitor.
Yeah, $400 or $500 monitor, which is not cheap, but it didn't have a DC in, so we couldn't plug it in.
Yeah.
And
I mean, this is very technical, yeah. If you like, just to optimize the rig. And then, so from there, we then were like, okay, this is not as good. And so we were looking up the return policy on Henry's, which is like Canadian B&H. And anyways, we then went to Facebook Marketplace and then found somebody who's selling a 7-inch Atomos Shinobi, no, Atomos Ninja, like, but it was like an older
basically
one.
Basically brand new.
Yeah, basically brand
new.
It was
crazy.
Yeah, it was 7-inch, and they sold it for $300.
Well, yeah, they had it listed for like $500, and then I literally said, hey, I'll take it, and the guy said, you know what? I'll take $300.
Yeah, we didn't even give him an offer.
We didn't
at
even
all.
Negotiate at all.
Well,
this,
we were gonna try to negotiate.
Chops his price down himself without any like.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it was great.
It was fantastic because we messaged the guy and I was like, okay, maybe we can get like $50 off. Mm-hmm. No, he just knocked off $200. Yeah, he knocked off $250 right away. We're like, okay, cool. Like, yeah,
yeah.
Don't mind if
it was a quite an old monitor though. It like came out in 2015. This is right when it was. It's a four, not a 4K. It's a 1080 monitor. But
I think it is 4K.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think so. Oh.
Yeah, but it only outputs, or we only put into it 1080.
That's true. But it was also a monitor that came out like 2015, and at 4K, this is like when 4K was brand new. So it was like, it was an older monitor.
But for what we needed, it was perfect.
That's perfect. Great.
There was like nothing better. It had all the ports we needed, yeah. Everything
DC,
we needed.
Yeah.
DC power.
DC exactly. power, exactly. And then we just stuck it right on, and then it was a giant ass screen. Pulling focus was super easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it was kind of nice. We were making basic adjustments on the fly as we're in Vancouver trying to do this shoot. But
yeah, we were there for, what was it, 5 days?
Yeah.
To do this whole thing. We bought this monitor second day because first day in, we're like, this is horrible. Can't deal with this.
Exactly. So
yeah. Made a big difference in the helicopter too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like, actually, we can go into the helicopter stuff.
Yeah. That was a good time.
Whoops.
Yeah.
What? Open a new can of worms on this one.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. Well, we touched on it in the video, the helicopter scene, like the helicopter part. Sky Helicopters, thank you very much. They gave us a deal, which was fantastic. And then also, so the main thing about the helicopter was that we couldn't fit the helmet into the helicopter because it was tiny. Like my head was just about hitting the roof and I'm not a super tall guy or anything.
Short king.
Hey.
So that happened. So what we did is as you probably saw in the behind the scenes video, we got a piece of wood, chopped it down, put some tape on it so I could bite onto it as like a mouth mount. And we bought a drill from Home Depot, use it to drill out some holes to bolt it all together. And then we returned the drill after.
In the hotel
bathroom, we're doing woodworking. And there's sawdust all in the bathtub. I think we clogged the drain too.
Yeah, we did. We definitely did.
Anyways.
Hey, but it worked, right?
It did work.
We made this modified mouth mount so Steven could bite onto it and hold the camera with no hands, and then he could do what he needs to do, putting his hands in the place he needs to put them.
Exactly. And then I had all the cables for like the video transmitter and like the battery and all the power running into my pocket.
Down my jacket.
And it was a pretty good system. We were thinking like, if this works, this could be like our main thing. But then I realized holding a camera in your mouth for more than 30 seconds is very painful.
Yeah.
Especially a big heavy camera like that.
Yeah. Like and then also because we had wireless video and wireless focus, I was in the front seat and I could just, even though I was in the video, my head was kind of tilted down and I could pull focus, but it doesn't look like I'm looking at anything. It just looks like.
Yeah. I remember we were doing that because I can't talk to you because it was a doors off helicopter tour and it's also super loud.
It's doors off in beginning of March Canada.
So cold. It was incredibly cold.
So like in the parking lot, we were layering up. I probably had about 10 layers on my top and 3 or 4 on the bottom.
They probably thought we were insane asking for the doors off.
I know. But they were like, yeah, you guys want photos?
It looked great though.
It did look great, but it was just so freaking cold. And it was windy up there, of course, because you're up in the air.
Exactly. Like, I remember the headphones I was wearing almost fell off, but I remember I couldn't talk to you because I had the whole thing and then I couldn't get my mouth in the right spot because I had a camera in my mouth. Yeah. So I remember punching Mitchell in the back of the head. Like, okay, record. Okay, go.
Yeah.
Pull focus. Make sure it's going. And then,
we had the safety straps on our neck.
Yeah.
It was so windy that it would fly right over top of us.
Exactly.
Oh, it was so scary.
I remember looking back at you and you're holding your camera, and in the helicopter, you have to have everything strapped down, especially when it's doors off, because if anything goes out the window, it's not a risk to people on the ground. It's a risk that item is going to get caught in the tail rotor, and as soon as that happens, you're basically
game over.
Yeah, it's game over. So everything has to be tied down, like phones, everything. We weren't even allowed to take our phones out, he said, unless they're tethered down. We didn't have any tethers, so we couldn't do that.
I want to get some Instagram stuff.
Couldn't do anything. But I remember looking back at you, and then you're recording, and then it's so windy that I can see the strap fluttering, and it literally goes whoop, and then look at me, and I look at you, and we're like, oh, okay, I'll put this back on.
It's funny, because I remember when he's giving us the safety briefing.
We all looked at each other.
Well, he's like, number one thing is nothing can fall out of the helicopter because it'll go into the tail rotor. And he said, if anything falls out, just yell left or right, whatever side it is, so I can swing the helicopter to try to avoid it. And I was like, okay, cool. And then he followed up with, oh, there's a survival kit under the seat. That's all you need to know for now, because if we ever need it, I'll give you further instruction. And I was thinking, I was thinking, what if something happens to him? But I'm thinking, you probably don't ever need that survival kit because you never get to the ground alive.
Well, yeah. Because if you're in the air and you don't plan on landing, odds of you going from air to ground, if this guy's...
Safely.
Yeah.
Safely?
But I'm just saying...
You're dead.
Yeah, without, if this guy's unconscious or something, that's not happening. That safety kit is only for when you've landed and you say can't take off again. I think that's what it's for.
Exactly. Because I was like, oh, that seems kind of interesting. He wouldn't give us
He just brushed right over it.
Yeah, like you probably never get the opportunity to use it
because
we're not landing. So.
That was your first time on a helicopter.
It was, yeah.
How was it?
Unbelievable.
Yeah?
It's like the craziest.
Is it better when it's paid for?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
For sure.
Of course.
Anything's better when it's paid
for. Of course.
But yeah, no, it's like the perspective of being like over top of a city or over top of like a crazy lake or waterfall or anything like that. It's a perspective that you can't get anywhere else.
Exactly. Well, you're seeing it with your own eyes, not like through the drone controller.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, it's not the same. And like that helicopter ride was half an hour long.
It was an hour.
That's right. It was an hour.
Yeah.
But we started in a place called Pitt Meadows, which is outside of Metro Vancouver. And we flew up and over the mountains. Like, we did the whole 9 yards. Yeah. Like, we hit forests.
I was impressed.
We hit snowy.
Over waterfalls.
We hit, but like, only 5% of it made into the video. And like, none of it was made into the video because obviously for timing.
And we also hit it for sunset. And so it was like perfect.
Yeah, and we do a loop around downtown Vancouver right as the sun is literally cresting the mountain.
Those trees and it was just the city skyline. That was the most incredible.
We should edit
thing.
Some of those photos. I know we got some good photos from that. So.
Yeah. So that was very cool. That was Stephen and I's second time in a helicopter.
Hopefully many more in the future. Hopefully.
One thing to keep in mind, never use a 7200.
Yeah. So we had three cameras. One of them was for the POV. The other one was just kind of there for getting B-roll and stuff. And that one had a 24-70 on it.
Yeah.
And then I don't know whose idea this was, but someone was like, yeah, we need the 70-200.
That
and
was definitely
like,
me.
And I was like, oh, I'll take that. Yeah, no worries. I'm in the front seat. I'll take the 70-200. And never, ever take a 7200 in a helicopter, because the only reason is because it's so shaky. Like, 70 millimeters is the only thing you can use because it's... And then 200, you're doing this, can't get anything. 70 is the only thing you can use. And even then, why don't you just put a 24-70 on it and you get so much more. Like, I couldn't take pictures of, like, my feet or my hands or anything. It was all out the window. So, not ideal. Don't do that. For next time, we've learned.
Yeah, we've learned. Hopefully, many more helicopter rides in the future. So we...
All paid for, hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah, who knows?
We'll see.
I feel like it's going to definitely be out of my pocket in some cases.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah,
Yeah, that's the helicopter. What else did we do? Let me hit my...
Well, we then also went to the aquarium. That was an interesting one.
Oh, yeah, we hit the Vancouver Aquarium.
Yeah, it's been probably a decade since I've been there last when I was like...
I don't know if I've ever been there, actually.
I was probably like 7 or 8 when I went last time.
Yeah, so over a decade.
Yeah, over a decade.
12 years ago.
Exactly. And yeah, it was kind of interesting because we were originally just going to walk in there and be like, hey, we're filming. Hopefully this is fine. But then we were like, this is kind of too big of a part of a video to really risk it like that and just... send it.
Yeah.
And so we then emailed them, explained everything like, hey, we have this big kind of camera helmet rig.
Yeah, no. What we did is we actually, in the email, we said, hey, I'm a student at Capilano Film School, which is a local film school in Vancouver. And we said, oh, filming my year-end project. I've made this rig, da 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 da. It's for a tourism video for Vancouver. So we were lying all over, like all across the board. But then we said, hey, can we come in and film this? And they were like, yeah, we'll actually have a guy here waiting here to help you and guide you around.
Oh, it was so perfect. Like,
perfect. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So we show up and this guy's sitting there. He's like, yeah, where do you want to go? What do you want to see? And,
he would just like follow us around and make sure like no one else bothered us.
Well, he was controlling people, which is perfect. Helping us move furniture around.
Yeah.
Like, literally. Benches and stuff. Yeah. It was kind of funny, but yeah, it worked out great.
Yeah. That was perfect. So
I mean, also, we pretty much only saw the jellyfish in there, but
we went through all the exhibits. Like, we went to the monkeys. Wasn't there monkeys?
Yeah, there's monkeys. Yeah. There's like tropical things.
But it was so hot in that room.
Oh, it was so bad.
Like, we were, it's whatever it is, probably 7 degrees outside. So we're all wearing jackets and stuff. And we walk inside and we're walking around. Everyone's still in jackets and whatever. We go to the exhibit for the monkeys and the snakes and the whatever, the tropical. And it's like, freaking 35 degrees in there
and humid
and humid. And we've got each got probably 3 layers on
and huge backpacks,
So everything's just sweating all at once.
I'm wearing Gore-Tex. So I'm like, I'm basically wearing a garbage bag and it just filling with sweat.
Not fun.
But then we also saw some sea lions and there's also some other fish, but a lot of them weren't like, I mean, the jellyfish were the best part just cause they were so vibrantly lit lit and just cool looking. Everything else is pretty kind of dull. So
and you can kind of like interact with them and like have your hands in front and stuff like that.
We filmed a whole bunch. I mean, this is a classic example where you film so much, but none of it makes it in.
Yeah.
So you got to pick and choose your best shots.
Yeah, pretty much. So that's the aquarium.
Yeah.
What else was there? What else did we do?
The biking scene.
Oh yeah, the biking scenes. A funny story about the biking scenes. So we actually had a model already lined up for the biking scenes to be the person in the video to ride the bike. Lucas, how's it going?
If you know Lucas Films, he's been in a few of our videos.
Yeah, he's been some older TMS videos, probably about 2020 kind of date range, March and April 2020. But at Lucas Films on Instagram, great photographer, was definitely down to help us out, we were very appreciative of it. Unfortunately, the morning, I wake up in the morning and we were supposed to start filming at like 9 a.m. I wake up at 7. And he texts me and he's like, hey, bro, I have to cancel. I got lice. And I was like, what are we in kindergarten? Like, what? Who gets lice? And also, why today of all days? So anyways, thank you for the heads up, Lucas. That's better than just
He sent that message
up
at like 3 a.m.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But we were all asleep because we knew it was going to be an early morning. So we went to bed at like 11 or 12. So we didn't see it until I woke up. And I was like, fuck, here we go. So we go on Instagram, post, say, hey, is there anyone in Vancouver? Sure enough, within an hour, we had a guy, Juan, if you're watching this, hello. His Instagram is at underscore dot C-A-N-O dot underscore. Give him a follow. he was down and to come and help us, and it was great because we had needed someone last minute, and he ended up being perfect for what we needed. So we really appreciate it, Juan, if you're watching.
The power of Instagram.
The power of Instagram. It's, that's a whole story in itself.
But it was within like 30 minutes of like putting it on Instagram, finding, I think there was multiple people that
there was more than one. And like, he was the first. And then we were like, oh, we'll just leave it up for like 10 more minutes. See if someone else comes through. And then like, just in case he isn't available at this time or whatever. And yeah, we had a guy lined up within 30 minutes, which was really, really cool. So yeah, exactly. that was fun.
Well,
I'd say that's probably my favorite looking part of the video
in terms of like color grading.
Just because, not even color grading, just because, based off of what you're doing, based off the POV, because I find that with biking, that you can either, like, you can focus on the handlebars or you can focus outside and you look up. And it's really, like, I always find that with the POV rig, the most interesting things are when you're doing something close and very tactical with your hands. Like, when you're doing stuff with your hands, it looks the best.
Yeah.
And I find that biking, the biking thing was like, oh, you can see your hands and then it's blurry background. And then you look up and you can see, like, it's, it kind of adds, like, the helicopter was cool, looked awesome. But there was only so many shots you could do of focusing from your hand to the ground, hand to the ground, hand to the ground. Like,
exactly. I mean, if you're flying the helicopter, that would be
a completely different story.
But that's also very dangerous.
Yeah.
We would have died. Yeah, that's... And then also, when you're filming the biking scenes, we were filming drone shots as well. And so we used the DJI Mavic Mini, Aiden's Mavic Mini 2, or I guess Aiden's sister's Mavic Mini 2.
Not mine.
And it was kind of funny because that drone, I've never used it before. That was the first time using it. I am blown away.
The footage on it is so much better than I was expecting.
The quality is just like, I looked at that, I'm like, is what?
The size too.
The size too. And the thing fits in your pocket. And it's also under 249 grams. And like, we were flying it downtown Vancouver, right on the waterfront.
No problems at all.
No problems at all. And like, it's one of those drones that as soon as you take it above like 20 feet in the air, it's invisible. You can't see it. And you also can't even hear it. It sounds like a thing of bird or
A swarm of bees.
Bees, but not even. Like, it's like, goes quiet. Oh,
exactly. Because so we got one shot right in front of the Fairmont waterfront, and it was perfect. And, like, no one even noticed it was there. And we're just, like, getting this drone shot. And we're like, this would not be possible with any other drone.
Exactly.
So, it was that drone.
It was great.
Very thoroughly impressed.
Yeah, Steve and I, after that, were like, maybe we need to get one ourselves.
That was the only drone we brought, too. We didn't bring the other drones.
No, we didn't.
Because we had so much other gear.
We couldn't use it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and we were like, we can't use it. There's no point. So we didn't even... We never used it before, and it was kind of a risk to be like,
I don't even think we had planned to use any of the footage from it. Like, I think it was kind of just like an add-on. That we were like, hey, we should do this.
There was one shot, which is right downtown, which is why we brought it.
Okay.
Which was that one biking scene. That was the one shot I even planned on using. But, I mean, we use it for so much more. And then there's the sunset shot, too, which we got. I don't know if we actually put any of that in the video. But the colors were, like, insane. I got that sunset. Anyways, so that also worked out.
Yeah, it worked out really well.
Yeah. Incredibly well. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. And then...
what else was there? There was the Fairmont Hotel. That was fun. So we knew that when we were doing this, we knew we wanted to have a nice hotel. Like, this is... Like, something we wanted the most was a nice hotel to both start and end the video at. Like, you wake up in a nice hotel, and then you also go to bed in a nice hotel and just make it look like it's a complete day. So
you wouldn't want to see the other one, the other place.
No. So like, we were there for 5 days, for five nights. For four of the nights, we were in like this just janky hotel that was like this run down. It was the cheapest thing we could find in downtown Vancouver. Lights didn't work. We had to request new light bulbs.
Do you remember we found someone's underwear behind the desk?
Oh, right.
That was so gross.
So in the room, and also it's so funny because it's because we're cheap as heck. It's one bed in the room for three people, and it's one a double. So Steven and I cram into the bed, and then we brought a blow up mattress that Aiden slept
on. Honestly, it was probably better on the mattress.
Probably. But Aiden was like on the side, right to the left, crammed down to the left of the bed. Sleeping there. That was his bed, and Steve and I shared the double bed. And it was tiny, like as big as this room, and that's it. And it, for three people and gear and whatever.
Yeah.
So
So
then the whole underwear thing. There's a desk in the room, and then one day we were like, did someone drop something behind there?
We're trying to find more plugins, I think.
Yeah, we were trying to find more plugs, so we're looking behind desks and stuff. Sure enough, we pull the desk away, and there's someone's lingerie. It fallen down and it's like wedged in between the desk and the wall.
Oh my god!
And we're looking at it, we're like, ew.
Yeah, and then I remember I was like, the last thing you want to do is turn a black light on in here.
Oh,
the
my
place
gosh.
Would probably just glow. It would be so nasty. Holy,
it was raunchy. So yeah. I used two pieces of cardboard as chopsticks and picked it up and threw it in the garbage.
Yeah, should have just left it. Shove it under there and just forget about it.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. So then we finally then upgraded to Fairmont.
Yeah, that
which
was the last night.
That was
really
quite an
nice.
Upgrade.
Quite an upgrade.
Yeah, it was also like three times the price. So, yeah. Because I think we paid for that one night, it was like $650 for a night.
Yeah.
So it definitely wasn't sustainable for the whole trip, but it was definitely nice to do that for the last day.
Yeah. We did plan on doing it the first night. And it would have been so discouraging to do that the first night and then go to this shithole of a hotel after.
Yeah.
And then so this was perfect because we went from really bad to the nice hotel at the last night to
and we kind of relax. Had, like, the last day was kind of a chill, kind of just, like, sit around the pool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we were able to go to the pool. And yeah. We also all got robes. We all got...
Like, we all ordered robes. Yeah, because so we phoned...
There's one robe in the bathroom, or two.
No, there's two in the bathroom.
Two in the bathroom. And then we phone in to the front service, like, hey, can we get another robe? And they're like, absolutely. Right?
Yeah, like, come right up.
5 minutes later, someone's like, here's your robe.
And I'm like, it feels so powerful with the concierge. Just like, this is sick.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So, and then we went to the pool, went to the hot tub.
We left the Ronin by the pool for like 4 hours.
Yeah, this is the next day when we were filming at the pool. We left it there because we had woken up at like 6 a.m. to start filming at the pool because the pool opens at 6. We didn't want anyone else in the pool. So we were like, oh, we got to get up there, get in there first thing.
With the nice lighting too.
With the nice lighting as well. And anyways, we go there. We brought all our gear down there. We left. And then probably 4 or 5 hours later, we're like, hey, where's the Ronin? Has anyone seen that? No, I haven't seen it in a long time.
We're packing up.
Yeah, we're packing up the car.
We're packing up the car. We're like, where's the Ronin? Has anybody seen it? And they're like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, is it by the pool?
Yeah, so I run down to go to the pool to go check. Sure enough, sitting right there in the
soaking
sun.
Soaking up the rays.
Soaking up the rays.
Exactly. I mean, thankfully, it's kind of around a corner, and like, no, it wasn't very busy there anyways. So I think it would have been fine, but it was just kind of like, I mean, we've lost tripods, all kinds of stuff from us just leaving it. The Ronin, that would suck.
Yeah.
Been pretty expensive, so.
Yeah, that would have been an expensive one. But then, yeah. I mean, yeah, we got it. We packed up. We went home.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. That hotel had an outdoor pool at the beginning of March. And that outdoor pool is open.
And heated.
It's heated. Yeah. And it's open year-round. I'm like, that should be kind of cool to go in, like, December when it's cold out. And it's basically a giant hot tub.
Yeah,
exactly. So, that was, Anyways. All in all, then we came home. We spent the next month editing it, the whole thing. We had Tommy help us put it all together, which we'll do another episode on where Tommy is. I feel like that's kind of a...
Yeah, that's coming.
Yeah, eventually. I mean, I think it turned out... I'm very pleased with how the whole video turned out. I think...
All
things considered.
Everything
kind of worked out in our favor, which was pretty sweet.
Exactly. I mean, we did have a few scenes that we did plan on doing, but weren't able to. Like, we wanted to get one shot. Actually, this is our whole idea, is that we want to get one shot where we were getting someone in a bar, like a hotel bar, to pour us a drink and use Aviation Gin.
Right.
Which, if you don't know, Aviation Gin is owned by Ryan Reynolds, who is from Vancouver. And our idea was to use this and potentially try to send it to Ryan in some way to be like, hey, we used it, and see if he'll, like, I don't know, repost it or like see it, or kind of, I don't know, it'd be kind of cool to have him interact with it and see our video.
Yeah, we were hoping by using Aviation Gin, it would be like our best chance at having this happen.
Exactly. And so, but unfortunately, when we were in Vancouver, we couldn't find a restaurant we could go to. We're a little also tight for time. And then we were like, oh, we can just do it someplace in Kelowna. And just like, we know people that work at restaurants. Can we get connections into...
Yeah, we actually know a manager of one of the local Cactus Clubs.
Yeah, and Cactus Club is like a franchise that's all throughout Vancouver and very, very popular for, like, it basically is like a restaurant. It looks like a stereotypical restaurant.
And it's also a Vancouver staple. So we're thinking, oh, if we could just use the one in Kelowna, you're only seeing the inside. It wouldn't really matter.
Exactly. You'd never know. And anyways, so I called my friend and he's like, yeah, I mean, like, I'll have to just talk to my general manager. Turns out it's this whole big thing with Cactus Club corporate, and like, because it's branded imagery and like, you need to kind of get approval from higher ups. And we had to get this whole thing done in like 2 days. And then, so yeah, it's going to take me like a lot of time.
Well, the thing I find is interesting about that, because I was thinking it would just be a matter of like, we phone him up and he says, yeah, when do you want to come in? And it's good to go. We just like
that night and just pop in.
Yeah, literally pop in. It's like a single shot that's probably going to take like the whole shot's probably going to be like 10 seconds at the most.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably going to take us like half an hour to film it in and out.
Yeah.
We could also come in like, if you're like after you close at like freaking 2 o'clock in the morning, or we could even come in the morning at like 11 a.m. before you open. And and we thought it was going to be a slam dunk. It was going to be easy as pie. Sure enough, he's like, no, it's not. And so
well, apparently they were like, he was talking about the bar top specifically, like where you make the drinks. And apparently that's like a big deal to show on video or something. And I think because we were using something more than just a phone camera.
Well, yeah, see, another thing I find like, is like, don't people go in there all the time with their iPhones and just like record Instagram stories? And like, it's not like a restaurant says, no, you can't do anything. Like, you can't, whatever. And like, obviously we weren't going to get any like patrons in the restaurant. We weren't gonna get anyone else besides our hands, the bartender, if he's on the other like on the other side of the bar, and also if as long as he agrees to be in it, and him pouring, like, we're not gonna get anyone else. And we're thinking it would be so easy.
Exactly.
It wasn't.
It wasn't, because apparently they really project their bar top and want it to be shown in a positive light. And since we're using bigger cameras,
yeah,
it's a big deal. And so we couldn't end up getting it. It turns out that it probably worked out for the better, because we found that this video, like, the main thing with these videos is to keep things moving and, like, always be switching up scenes. And we found that even in this video, there was a few moments that got a little slow, but we kind of needed them for the storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we've learned now, next time we'll make it better. But then we just cut out for timing, because the video was getting quite long.
Yeah. Our last POV video, the Headed West one, clocked in at, I think, 5 minutes and 17 seconds.
Yeah.
For the actual, like, POV part. This one came in at around 5.
Exactly. And that's like the max, because, like, POV is cool and all. It's really effective in small doses, like 30 seconds to a minute. It's fantastic.
It's lethal.
It's lethal. Like, everyone's like, this is sick. But people get sick of it after about 3 or 4 minutes, and then it just kind of gets boring. Yeah. And then so no one wants to really watch more than 5 minutes. Like, that's like the absolute max. And so going into it next time, like, especially that video in Tofino that we plan to do and all that kind of stuff, we want to try to maybe even keep it like 2 minutes and just keep things moving. Because we also, when we're filming the video, we're kind of walking, but like, we're walking as people normally do because it's authentic, but it's very slow. So
you gotta like move faster than you exactly think you would have to.
Because if you think about it, when people imagine doing something, when they play it back in their head, it's always faster than you imagine. And so we're trying to mimic that in POV, because you're trying to mimic people's kind of like memories, because they see their hands in their own memories. And so you always want to keep things moving. Like, we want to basically always be walking in like a brisk power walk.
Yeah.
Always be doing everything fast as possible.
In future, like, we only have walking scenes that last a maximum of 3 or 4 seconds.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're always onto a new like activity and just kind of keep things moving. Mm-hmm. We want to try doing a video, which, I mean, if you're seeing this, we have that spec ad series.
That's another podcast.
Another podcast episode. Our comeback.
Yeah. We have a new series coming up. So stay tuned for that.
I guess. Oh yeah. Cause when this comes out, it'll be the next video. So
yeah. So next video is actually going to be the launch of a new series that we're going to be having. I think it'll be fun. You guys will love it.
Exactly. Anyways, but we want to try doing a video where we kind of do like a fitness ad, but in POV, because those are perfect. Cause you can do like, say, push-ups, or you can do like all this really high intensity, very fast moving activities. And I think with POV, it'd be a very effective advertisement or very effective.
That would be really cool. Actually,
video. Cause people would be like, this is sick. And if it's like 30 seconds to a minute, it would look dope, I think. Mm-hmm. So,
oh yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, or even you have it as like a supplementary shot that's like, the whole video is filmed third person, like normal filmmaking, but then you have like 3 or 4 shots in a 60-second ad or something. That was like boom, 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 boom. Exactly. You have the POV and then you're done, right? The whole thing is not POV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in like small snippets, POV is lethal. Anything long form, it just kind of gets boring. So we've really thought a lot about like the psychology behind like how this works and what people think of it, because we want this to be like, I don't know, as entertaining as possible. And so like, there's a lot of challenges,
but it's not like it like erodes the fact of doing like a POV travel film like we did.
No,
exactly. I just think in future, we just need to keep it shorter.
Yeah.
Right.
And like, also we have to have more instances of us interacting with things or people would keep it interesting as well.
Yeah. Cause when you're walking down the road and you're just looking at stuff, like, that's not nearly as interesting as when you're like fiddling with something in your hands or doing something with your hands.
Exactly.
And when you're walking, looking around at stuff, that's a shot that you could get just by holding the camera. Like, you don't need, it doesn't.
Exactly.
There's no depth to it. Really.
Yeah. There's no depth. You don't have anything that signals to you, oh, this is first person.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it does nothing.
So in the POV video, it worked really well when we were buying the train ticket. We're like on the machine.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. That was a great shot.
That was a great shot. We bought those buns at that store and then like someone's handing us the thing like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's another little thing. Buying those buns was interesting. That was one of those instances where we were like, screw it. We're going to walk into a restaurant and just start filming and not even ask.
Yeah.
Sure enough, we walk in there and the guy's like, whoa, 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 whoa. It's like real quick. They come up and they're like, what are you doing? And, anyways, we ask them, and then they're like, they're humming and hawing, and like, the one person's like, oh, I have to go ask the manager. They walk to the back. We're waiting there for like 5 minutes, because they come back, they're like, okay, yeah, you can do it, but you can't show this, this, or this. And we're like, oh, perfect, great.
But then they wanted to start showing us how their steamer works. Like,
they were all into it after.
Like, how they make their buns. We're like, oh, we just need one shot of us buying a bun. That's all we need. Yeah. Nothing crazy. So, I think it's funny, because people really kind of like, don't understand exactly what we're going for. So they always kind of be like,
it's a tough thing to explain to people too.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. Like, it's, I don't know. Like, when you walk in with a huge rig, they're just like, what in the world is that?
What are you doing?
And you also need to explain it to people who have no background in film, have no idea.
Right,
a lot of people look at you like aliens and like, what the heck is that on that? And what is this? Like, what is this whole thing? And it's one of those things where you're like, so it's like this thing that you put, like, even when people ask me, like, oh, what's your next project? What are you doing nowadays? And I have to try to explain, like, oh, I'm shooting a project where it's like this first person. So we took a helmet, we put a camera on it, we attached it, and it has this unique look. It's so hard to explain, especially in the moment to people. It's like, it gets the shot, and it's just you don't know how to explain it properly and just convey what you're trying to do, and you also, like, people think then it's a much bigger deal than it actually is. Like, they think you want to show the whole restaurant. I'm like, oh no, I just need one shot. Like, it's, I'll be in and out in 10 seconds. So it's can be kind of tricky.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not here to see how you make your buns and go back there myself and just start like chefing them up. Yeah. So
kind of interesting. It's that restaurant ended up being, or not restaurant, that like, yeah, rest, what did you call that? Cafe place where we bought the buns ended up being bakery. Perfect. Bakery.
There we go.
Thank you. ended up being perfect. And they were pretty cool about it near the end. So
now from your perspective, I want to ask, so from someone who, cause obviously we've done two of these now, from your perspective, what was this whole process like? Cause I remember we came to you and we're like, hey, do you want to do this? And you're like, yeah, sure. And then now we're just...
Yeah, we didn't really explain much about
we're
it.
We're throwing before. You into it full force, and we're like, hey, we're making a POV video. Yeah, I don't know. It's just...
Yeah, you want to come to Vancouver for a week, help us film. It's going to be fucking painful, but it'll be fun.
So. I mean, when you guys came to me and it was like, hey, we're going to Vancouver, I'm never going to say no to a free trip to go somewhere.
Exactly.
But I think for like a trip like this, it's one of those things that you don't really get to go to places and get to experience everything within such a short amount of time. It's kind of just like... It was like the perfect situation where you do get to go see everything, but it was a lot of work going to every location. And it's like, we'll be like, oh, it's only going to take 2 hours to film this. It's never just 2 hours. No. It's like at least an extra hour and a half. We have a
golden rule in filmmaking, which is like, if you predict how long it's going to take you, always multiply it by three.
Yeah.
And we're usually bang on like, oh, it'll only take an hour.
3 hours.
More often than not, it'll take three. Yeah. Oh, it'll take two. It tends to take six. You're like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it's so true. But I think like being able to go see all those places was pretty cool.
Yeah. We packed a lot into 5 days.
We did.
We did all the touristy things. It ended up being like the perfect trip to Vancouver for ourselves as well.
Oh, yeah. So. And it makes it more interesting. Like you really start to think about like all the little details of each place you go to. It's not just like you go there, see it, and then walk away. Like it's like you go there, what's like the coolest part here and how can we spend the most amount of time here? Which I thought was pretty cool.
Exactly. Yeah. Nice. And from somebody out, I guess, who...
Wait, I want to ask one more thing. Something I thought was so... Now, what was the wake-up calls like?
The wake-up call?
Because Aiden here, we many times... I'm outing you right here.
Yeah.
Steve and I, it's like, it was early mornings. Like, we're waking up, it's like 6 a.m. every morning because we got to get a jump on the day. Aiden likes his sleep.
I do like my sleep.
You do like your sleep.
I'm a night owl, so like I'll be up late. I'll be on TikTok, not tired at all. Wake up in the morning, or not even wake up. It's just like lying there.
And we're like, hey, Aiden, wake up. And he's like,
I don't want to.
So many times, like Steve and I will be literally getting our shoes on and you're still in bed. And we're like, okay, we're going. Yeah. Let's go. Come on.
I'll be literally walking down the hall, putting my jacket on still.
I was going to say, is there anything that you can touch on in terms of like, filming with us as say from the perspective of someone who doesn't always film with us. So say for example, if someone random came along, like someone who subscribes to us or someone that likes what we do. And then they're like, hey, want to film with you guys. Is there anything that you're like, oh yeah, it's kind of like this. And then it's like,
I think like one thing I do notice, like I've filmed with like multiple other people before,
right.
But like something that I really notice about like working with you guys is like the attention of detail. It's like,
Thank you.
You look at one shot and it's just like, hey, that looks really good, but it's like never good enough.
Yeah.
Which
there's
is like,
something you can change.
Oh, there is. And I think that like you guys have a really good like perspective on, okay, like, you know what? This is good enough. We can move on to the next shot. Yeah. But like there's a point where you guys like push it to the limit where it like puts you like further from other people, I think.
Nice. Well, thank you. Yeah.
Of course.
That means a lot because like the attention to detail is one of those things that we've had, actually me and Mitchell had many conversations on.
Mm-hmm.
And like we talk about attention to detail and that's one of the biggest kind of factors in terms of like what I see in terms of other people's videos being like, wow, this is really good, is that people really pay attention to those details.
Those little details, yeah.
And
it's not even that they pay attention to the details, it also like triggers something in the subconscious, like where it makes you feel a certain way but they don't know why. Like, they, I feel like this video makes me happy, but I don't know why. But it's because of the detail of the, say, the music you used, right?
Sound
like
effects.
It's one of those things where, like, the attention to detail, even if people don't pick it out and be like, oh, it's happy music, so I must be happy, they subconsciously pick it up, right?
Yeah, right. Okay. Because that's, attention to detail is something, because when we see, like, I mean, this is a tip for if you're a beginner filmmaker or anything like that, is, like, attention to detail is key, because that's the number one thing I notice when I see other people's videos, because I just have, feel like, I'm not like, this is, like, this is the golden rule. Always follow this. Just something I notice is always that, like, just the attention to details, like, as in, like, what does it look like? Is there a different way you could do it? Like, even colors in a way, like, oh, this is yellow. Could you change it? Does it make it better?
Yeah. And it's even some of those things, like, even the attention to detail, I find is, like, is one of those things that you can spend so much time and effort on, but there are still instances where it doesn't come out how you're looking. Like, even this POV video, I'm looking at it. There's definitely things I would change about it.
Yeah.
And there's definitely things.
I think every project you work on, there is something that you could change.
Oh, absolutely, right? And it's like, even like a lot of times, even you try to be a detail oriented, but it's just out of your control, or like you just can't control. You obviously can't control the weather if the weather is not right, or there's different things you can't do, which in an ideal world you would, and that would be the attention to detail that you would try to spend time and effort on and like try to do. But it's just, sometimes it's just out of your reach to spend or control things and have that attention detail the way you want it. Yeah. So,
but making the best of every situation, I think, is
being resourceful.
We do pretty good. Resourceful is a good word.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, absolutely.
Liberal return policies are like our saving grace.
Well, even just like we look at the helicopter scene, like, we could have looked at it and been like, oh, we can't bring the helmet in there. What are we going to do?
Yeah, we could have been like, that's it.
That's it. We can't do this. But like literally.
My engineer brain turns on and I'm like,
I remember,
mouth mount. Let's do it.
We're driving down the highway and I just remember Mitchell's like, we're going to build this like mouth mount. I'm like, what are you talking about? But it was literally the day before, which is crazy.
Yeah. Or even remember we bought, so we had our focus playing monitor, had the small monitor.
Yeah.
And then we had the bigger monitor and we bought the bigger monitor. But we found out that it didn't work with the DC plug right away. So on the back, there's a plug, and it's what's called a barrel connector. Some of you guys might know what that is, but it's just
real technical.
It's real technical, but it's just like this. It's like a metal sleeve that then plugs in, and it's anyways, the barrel connector was too big, so that when you plug it looked like it plugged in, but it just wasn't giving power.
I remember that.
I know. So it wasn't giving power because the way a barrel connector works is that the outside is the positive signal, and then the inside is the negative, or it's one of those, but one of them is the positive. The inside is, for, I'm going to say for this example, the negative. And the issue was that, and then the receiving plug, this is going to get real weird with the hand signals, but the receiving part has like a stem, and then it comes around. And then, so it's like the negative on the inside, positive on the outside. Okay, cool. Barrel connectors. The way that this one was working is that it was too big. So it would go like, it would go in like this, and it would touch on the positive, but there was air in between. If you can see my hands, kind of hard to see. But it's like there's, and also if you're audio only, I'm so sorry.
The stem wasn't big enough to make contact with the inside of the barrel.
Yes. There wasn't enough connection for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It just wasn't touching. And I was like, so we plug it in. We're like, it's not working. It's not working. And then I'm like, big brainwave here. I'm like, we need something conductive that we can then stuff into the hole of the barrel connector, so it'll actually make contact with the stem and it'll basically expand the outside. Sure enough, we didn't have anything.
We needed tinfoil, ideally.
Ideally, you need tinfoil. And I was like, where do we need tinfoil? Sure enough, in Steven's bathroom bag, there was this metal aluminum, like, it was like polysporin. It was like polysporin. And if you don't know, polysporin comes in like a metallic, like kind of like toothpaste tube style thing. but it's made of like a metallic material, like aluminum or something. And we're like, this is perfect. So I take my Leatherman out. I start curling off
always
the edge.
Always have a Leatherman with
you. Oh yeah, it's so handy. Especially filmmaking. I curl it out and I snip off a little, like probably 1 millimeter by 3 millimeter little
strip.
It was
so small.
Tiny. Like if you blew, this thing would be gone. And anyways, stuffed it in. Boom, boom, boom.
It
worked.
Insane.
It lasted for the entire trip. It was perfect.
I think it's still in there now.
I think it's still in there now. We taped it in there and we're like, fuck it. We're never going to remove this.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. So it works and we're like, this is awesome.
So yeah, this piece of polysporin tube is stuck in there.
Like, I remember this trip being like one of those ones where like so many things went wrong, but we all came up with like, with just tactics and ways to get around it and like overcome the problem. Which was really,
attention
really
to
fun.
Detail.
Attention to detail, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just one of those things. That was fun. That was really funny. So Yeah.
Should we wrap it up now? I think we should. I think we're getting to the point where.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I think we hit on everything.
We did.
I'm just thinking more for timing.
Okay. Yeah. So. One last thing I want to touch on is there, really quickly, is what would we change about the video looking at it now that it's done? What is something that we would like? Let's each come up with maybe one thing we could try. We would try and change.
Are we gonna launch back into this, or are we just? Is this?
Like, I think we can just leave it. They know that we're gonna end it.
No, I don't think we could cut it. But
why?
Because we always do this, and it's always
It doesn't matter.
Okay. To change it, I would say the one thing I would do to change it is just more. I mean, this is like getting back to the core of the story. It's more than just a sense of just having things happen faster. So yeah. It like, because I feel like we could have done the exact same amount of stuff, but crammed it all into say 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, just
if we kind of kept things moving.
Yeah.
So I feel like that would have been just better, just to make it pacing and just have it so it's more entertaining and things are just
happening more. Yeah. For myself, I would say great point. I would also say filming it in S-Log 3. So we filmed this with the Sony a7S III, but we did it in S-Cinetone picture profile. Kind of a big mistake because when you use S-Cinetone, it doesn't give you the full range that the camera offers, like the full dynamic range or the just the full detail and like ability with
the colors.
It's a lot
more work, but...
It is, yes, in post, when you do use S-Log 3, it is a lot more work, but it's one of those things that's just like... I would have much, for a bigger project this, I would have much rather taken S-Log 3. Yeah. And the only reason we didn't is because we were honestly just too scared to do it.
We've never used it before
We'd never used it before that. And it was just one of those things that we're like, I don't know. I don't want to screw it up. I don't want to do anything wrong, especially a big project like this. So we're like, screw it. We're going to do something that we know, which is the S-Cinetone. Shortly after that trip, we actually started using S-Log 3. And we're like, this isn't actually as hard as we thought it would be. Like, so something I would do is film in S-Log 3 just because, it would just give you way more flexibility in post. Mm-hmm. So anyways.
I agree with both of those, but I think another one would be kind of just like for sure, like how long it was. Yeah. And then just like being more interactive, kind of what we touched on before.
Right.
But just being like one thing that you look at this as being like this crazy cinema camera, but when you're looking, like what you were saying, it kind of looks like just a GoPro if you're just looking out at
You don't have
landscape.
Depth to it.
There's no depth to it. So I think doing more interactive stuff would really set us apart from like those other videos.
Yeah, exactly.
And make it so it's like, oh, this isn't just a GoPro.
Exactly. Yeah. And really highlight the good thing about this rig, which is the fact you have separation, you have depth of field.
You don't
which,
see that anywhere else. Like
you really don't. So, okay, I think that's it. That was it. If you guys want to, I mean, we could even go further into this, but
I feel like
it depends on how much detail you want.
How much detail do you want? So I think that that's it for our POV Vancouver video. I hope you guys, if you have listened to this whole thing and haven't gone seen the actual video, make sure you go and do that. It's on our YouTube channel. It's called A Perfect Day in Vancouver First Person Travel Film. So make sure you go check that out. Also, go follow Aiden here, talented photographer and videographer.
Thank you.
At Aiden Feds on Instagram. So make sure you go do that. It's going to be also linked in the show notes down below, so you can go and follow him. And that's about it. Is there anything else to touch on? I don't think so.
Don't think so.
Okay, we'll see you guys later. Okay, bye.